Coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn, it's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah today, because Pam is away at BNI.
She sure is.
That's her Wednesday thing.
She needs a break from us.
She does. She can only take 2 days in a row of us, and then that's it.
Those guys are so annoying.
who can blame her, really?
Nobody. No one.
We are covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Give us a listen at lydiamediallc.com or wherever you get your podcasts. And feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
Today's show is brought to you by UPI Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, serving residential and commercial customers with new installations and repairs. Call today and schedule your oil and gas boiler cleanings at 754-4556. UPI, the best plumbers around. And by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it. Squatch it at 6 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupers.
It sure does.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at some headlines for Wednesday, November the 13th.
The Sun Journal reports that the Auburn School District reached an agreement with about 100 educational technicians and secretaries. The three-year contract includes 3% raises each year, plus paid lunch breaks, a three-day bereavement leave, and other benefits, all within the current budget.
The Lewiston Public Library launched a $1 million fundraising campaign to renovate its children's department. The library aims to modernize the department with a timeless, engaging design tied to Lewiston's history. Spending includes $500,000 for the physical renovation, $400,000 for future children's services, and $100,000 for outreach to attract new families.
Maine-based nonprofit health insurer Community Health Options is the new administrator for Care Partners, Maine Health's program providing free or low-cost health care for low-income uninsured adults. The collaboration ensures that members will continue to have access to affordable, high-quality care.
And the Maine State Chamber of Commerce honored the Lewiston-Auburn Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce with the Dana F. Connors Chamber of the Year Award for their leadership, resilience, and commitment to rebuilding and revitalizing the LA community in response to the October 25th tragedy.
Weather. Partly sunny today with a high of 45 and a low of 29. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 48 and a chance of rain on Friday with high temps approaching 50.
We're in the 20s now pretty consistently
sure
at night.
It was chilly. Yep.
I don't care for that.
No, neither does Duncan. I open up the door in the morning and he's like, what is this fresh hell?
Yeah.
He's like, where's my jacket?
Can I just have a corner in the house where I can do my business?
I need a sweater. Go get my sweater.
In sports, the Bruins scored 3 goals in the third period, including David Pastrnak's game winner with less than 2 minutes remaining in a 3-2 win over the St. Louis Blues. Boston will visit the Dallas Stars tomorrow night.
I gotta wonder what that locker room pep talk was like between periods 2 and 3, because I am betting Monty was not happy.
I mean, who would be? You're going into the second intermission down 2-0 to a team that's not really all that good.
Yeah. They were sloppy last night.
And we're finding out this year, maybe the Bruins aren't all that good. Who knows? We'll have to wait and see.
You know who is good?
The Celtics?
The Celtics.
They weren't last night, though.
Hey, listen, the Celtics only lost by 1 point to the Atlanta Hawks last night. It was 117-116, so that's pretty darn good. Boston will visit the Brooklyn Nets tonight at 7:30, though.
Cooper Flagg had a game-high 26 points and 12 rebounds, but his Duke Blue Devils were upset by Kentucky, 77-72.
Not for lack of trying.
Nope.
Wyatt Hathaway's 26 points led CMCC men's basketball over Great Bay Community College, 94-85.
The Maine Nordiques visit the Danbury Hat Tricks for a special midweek game this afternoon at 4 p.m.
The NA3 Nordiques have a home-and-home against the Norwich Sea Captains. They'll play Friday in Connecticut and then Saturday back at the Colisée right here in Lewiston.
And tickets for that are only $5.
Oh, come on. You've got to go watch these kids
That's
play.
Right. Bates College Field Hockey will host Stevens Institute of Technology in round one of the NCAA Division III National Tournament this afternoon at 4 p.m. Bates Women's Basketball opens their season at home on Friday at 7 p.m. against Husson College.
The 3-7 Patriots host the 4-5 LA Rams on Sunday afternoon.
And before you make your pick for that game, you might want to wait to see what Lydia thinks.
See what Lydia thinks.
Lydia
agreed.
Is a perfect 1-0
Yep.
So far.
Yep.
That's your news, weather, and sports. And right now it is time for the podcast segment that is
sweeping.
the Twin Cities. Yay. It's time for famous people birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's famous people birthdays. It's famous people birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for November the 13th, shall we?
Yes, please.
Alrighty then. We're going to start off with Gerard Butler.
Yeah.
Who is 55 today. He was the shirtless wonder in the film 300.
Yes.
Do you need a minute?
He was in Lara Croft Tomb Raider, The Cradle of Life.
Okay.
Yeah.
He played Attila the Hun in the miniseries Attila in 2001.
Mm.
Jimmy Kimmel is 57 years old today.
Yeah.
I remember him from way back in the day. Win Ben Stein's Money.
Yes, that's
remember
right.
That show?
He was the host. I remember him from that and The Man Show. Now he's a talk show host.
Yes, talk show host and an executive producer of Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Yeah.
He's hosted the Primetime Emmy Awards 3 times and the Academy Awards 4 times.
He's done a lot of growing up since Win Ben Stein's Money.
He has. He's a big deal.
He's a big deal.
Joe Mantegna is 77 years old today. I know him from Criminal Minds. He starred in that series since 2007.
Yeah. Okay, I'm thinking of somebody else.
Yeah, Special Agent David Rossi.
Yes.
He voices the mob boss, Fat Tony, on The Simpsons.
On The Simpsons.
Which is fantastic. Yep. It's a great character. Yep.
Yeah, well, he was also in The Godfather Part 3.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And rounding out FPBs for November the 13th, Whoopi Goldberg is 69 today.
She's kind of a treasure.
She's treasure. Mm-hmm. I remember her first comedy special back in the day. Oh, what was it called? Fontaine something? I'm going to have to find it. I have to look it up.
Yeah.
But she played like 4 different characters during her stand-up special,
and
it was phenomenal.
My first encounter... I guess with her would be Jumpin' Jack Flash.
Jumpin' Jack Flash.
What a great physical, she's a great physical actress at the time. Like probably not now. How old did you say she was?
She is 69.
69, yeah.
Yeah.
So Jumpin' Jack Flash, I don't think she could have been much more than 30 years old at that time. And then Soap Dish with Robert Downey Jr. and Sally Field.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, she's so good in that as well.
Yeah, and Sister Act.
Yep.
As well.
Yep.
That was a great one.
She can sing. That woman can sing.
Yeah. She also won the EGOT, the Emmy, the Grammy, the Academy Award, the Oscar, right?
Yes.
And the Tony.
And the Tony. That's when you hit in every...
Yeah, you've checked all the boxes.
Yeah. Well, she's had quite a lengthy career, if you think about it. Ghost. Right?
Yes.
Ghost was great.
Yeah.
The Color Purple was probably one that she got a lot of awards for. So that was a really good one. And she was a hyena in The Lion King. Remember? She's a hyena.
That's how we
and
remember
Cheech.
Whoopi.
It was her and Cheech Marin, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Good pull. Good pull.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are your FPBs for November the 13th. Locally owned and locally focused, Lydia Media celebrates the heart of the greater Lewiston Auburn area through 2 magazines, Uncle Andy's Digest and LA Metro Magazine, and the new Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast. Each production shines a positive light on local businesses, nonprofits, events, and individuals making a difference in our community. Keep your advertising dollars local and position your business in front of your target audience with Lydia Media. Learn more at Lydia Media LLC. Now, Sarah.
Yes.
I heard you had a little adventure yesterday.
Yeah. Well, you remember the weather yesterday.
I do.
It was quite breezy. So I have a work vehicle and a regular vehicle. My regular vehicle is Ruby. Everybody knows Ruby.
Ruby, during the spring and summer and fall months, Ruby has a paddleboard attached
to her. Yeah, she roof. She should have her own Instagram page.
Yeah.
Like, my car should have her own Instagram page. She's so cool. But I switched cars yesterday at lunchtime to go do a work thing, and I parked Ruby in the driveway, and I had my basketball hoop was still up, but I had a big 50-pound bag of sand on the base of the basketball hoop, so I thought it was fine. And it's been there for like 10 years. The basketball hoop's been there for 10 years. But I had moved it to clean up leaves and put it back, and apparently that 50-pound bag was not heavy enough to keep it from being blown over in yesterday's windstorm, and it tipped over and it smashed Ruby's windshield with the rim of the basketball hoop.
Oh,
and
no.
She, I mean, it smashed. There's glass inside of the car. She's a mess.
Oh, no.
She was not happy when I got home last night.
She's like, why did you leave me?
How could you leave me here? But that's the second time it's happened. The first time it happened, Leo's bike was parked in front of it, his motorcycle. And so it took the taillight of the bike off. And then it hit Ruby just like on the hood and didn't even leave a mark. So I had like readjusted it and kind of put more weight on it, thinking that would fix it. But it did not fix it.
Oh, no.
I know. So Safe Light's coming on Friday to fix her.
Safe Light repair.
Safe Light replace. It's great because they'll come right to the house and I don't. Here's the thing that happened, though. Uh-huh. Like, that's drama. But then when I told Nick what happened, he was like, you should just sell that car.
So where's he living now?
I know. In his brand new truck out in the driveway. That's where he's living. I was like, how dare you talk to me about selling Ruby?
Why would he want you to sell Ruby?
Because I have the work car. Oh. Like, I have a 2024 Honda Accord Hybrid, which is like it's a beautiful car. And it's, you know, it's mine to use however I want to. My work will pay for it. And so he's like, you don't need Ruby. And I was like, what is wrong with you? Clearly, I do need Ruby. Always.
Wow.
Yeah, I was very surprised. He was like, you've had nothing but trouble with that car. Because you might not remember, but I had Ruby for about 2 months and I hit a pothole over here.
I do remember that.
In Auburn, and her tire blew up. Yep. Like, it was like there was a hole in it. And then there's just been tire stuff ever since. And like, there's like I broke the rear wiper off within the first week of having her. And she was so new that they weren't even manufacturing replacement parts yet. So I had to wait like 2 months for a rear wiper plate. This is all me stuff. Like, this is not Ruby's fault. This is all me. Like, if we're going to replace anything, it should be me.
I remember you and I got new cars right around the same time.
Yeah.
And you hit the pothole thing. And then I think a week later, I ran over like the biggest raccoon I've ever seen in my life.
It
and
so
it caused
weird.
Some damage to the underneath of my car.
It was rough.
Wow.
It was rough.
Yeah. I remember I was driving with a coworker. It was like 10 o'clock at night on Route 108 in Rumford. And this raccoon just bolted out of the woods and I had no choice. It was either, you know, put the two of us into a tree or run over the raccoon. Yeah. And at that point, I decided that Bandit had to go.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah, it was like the most horrific sound underneath. You could hear he rolled under the length of the car.
God.
And then I looked at my buddy and I was like, I don't think Bandit made it.
I don't think so.
I don't mean to laugh about that, but looking back, it was kind of humorous.
Yeah. Car stuff is hard. Like, I recognize the privilege that I have of having a second vehicle to use right now, because I could not drive Ruby the way she is. Like, it's not safe to drive her.
With no windshield?
Right.
I would agree.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, given any other situation, someone would have to either rent a car or not, or walk or go wherever they're. So I recognize the privilege of that. But car stuff is just like the worst. You feel so vulnerable when you don't have a vehicle. Yep. And I am kind of leaning back to what Shanna was saying yesterday on the podcast about how, you know, we give bicycles, they're on the list for the stuff, the bus. And, you know, we don't really think about it. We're like, as kids, you and I had bikes for fun. Like, we rode our bikes to just ride our bikes. But for some people, that's like their mode of transportation. So it's kind of the same thing. Like, something happens to your bike or happens to your car, you're done. You don't have anything you can do about
it. Yeah, it's a helpless feeling.
Very.
I mean, you also could have told Nick that, you know, I'm taking the truck today. Good luck with whatever your mode of transportation is.
Right. So he has had that truck for all of 3 weeks, and normally it is parked where Ruby was parked yesterday.
Oh, boy.
So I saved myself a little bit of trouble by parking Ruby on the bright side. It probably wouldn't have hit his windshield. It would have hit the front of his car, the front of the truck, but I feel like he would have been even more mad about that.
Oh,
like
no.
A big dig in it before he even got it registered. Can you imagine? You'd be so mad.
Yeah. At least you weren't in it at the time.
I know.
You know?
I know.
Winter is on the way, and if you're looking to get your vehicle, home, or health ready for all that Mother Nature has to offer, look no further than Uncle Andy's Digest. You'll find plenty of local businesses that take pride in providing great service at affordable prices. Holiday gift ideas? Yep, we have that too. It's all in the November issue of Uncle Andy's Digest, along with jokes, funny stories, shoutouts, an events calendar, and a whole lot more. Uncle Andy's Digest, your guide to, well, just about anything. Visit UncleAndy's.com. So Sarah and I had some drama yesterday.
Oh, okay. We're going to talk about it?
Why not?
Let's do it.
All right. There was a situation that came up.
Yeah.
I made a comment, and Sarah said, I can't remember exactly what you said.
If you know nothing about Mark Turcotte, you should know that he can hold a grudge.
Yeah, and I was taken aback by
that. I saw your face, and I was like, oh, he doesn't think that's funny.
Well, it's not that I didn't think it was funny. It's just that I don't know where it came from. It's like, because I don't hold any grudges.
Right, and upon reflection of that, you and I talked about it this morning.
And before you get into that, I just want to let our listeners know that I am currently holding a grudge against Sarah.
Right.
For saying that I hold grudges.
And that was what I was hoping for.
Yeah. So, here we are.
We had that conversation when I came in this morning. It's like, I'm holding a grudge against you for saying that I hold grudges. And I was like, I hope that's true. I hope that you are. But just because you and I know each other pretty well, I think. And, I was thinking more about it, and I was thinking, you actually don't hold grudges. You have something that I think a lot of people never really achieve because it's hard to let things go. You have indifference, where when you say, I really don't care, you really don't care. Like, it really, you're like, you have no feeling about it. You're done with it.
Does that make me less human?
No, I think that makes you higher level.
Oh, okay. I was thinking that sounds like a flaw.
No, I don't think so. Okay. I think that's something I think a lot of people work really hard to try to achieve.
Yeah.
Because everybody just really wants to be liked. That's like a human thing. And not that you don't want to be liked. Like, obviously, everybody wants to be liked at some level. But if somebody doesn't like you, you're not going to lose any sleep over
no,
it. You're not that kind of person.
Never.
Where I might lie awake and be like, what can I do to make this person change their mind about me and like me? Where you're just like sleeping peacefully because you just don't care.
Yeah, I don't. And I think, I don't know, I'm significantly older than you are. And I think that,
like 3 years older than me.
I think it comes with age too. This is how I see myself. I can adapt to situations. I can adapt to people. You know, if I have to deal with them on a daily basis, like I can let things go. Like if I've had a relationship with someone and it deteriorates for some reason, I don't go on thinking about it and wishing it was like it was. I'm like, well, that's just the course of life. It's the course of nature. Things change. If there's any guarantees in life, it's that things are going to change.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go out of my way to try to, you know, repair a relationship that someone... obviously,
they're not going to put
no
that effort
in.
Into. Yeah. You have always, to me, seemed like somebody who was sensitive to other people. And you, not that you take things personally, but if somebody does something that you don't like, you don't lose sleep over it, but you also are like, kind of, it does bother you maybe a little bit for like a minute. And then you're like, I'm not going to lose sleep over
it. Yeah, I mean... yeah, maybe a minute. I mean, it depends on the situation.
It depends on the situation.
Obviously.
How do you think you got to the place that you are now?
I don't know if there was any kind of...
not like an event.
No, there was no event or anything like that. But I can just remember like things come to me where like I responded in a certain way where my peers went in a totally different direction. Mm-hmm. I can give you two examples, and both of them have to do with comedy. I established a kind of a working relationship with Eddie Brill, who has been the talent coordinator on the David Letterman show for 17 years.
Oh,
that
wow.
was like Eddie's claim to fame. He was the warm-up comic for David Letterman, and he used to book comedic talent. And I did a workshop with Eddie. He was in Bangor, and I was like a year and a half into comedy, and I did a workshop with him. And he really liked me, and he asked me to open for him on his show that night. So I did, and then everything was great. We got along great, and we kept in touch via texting and social media. And I organized a couple of workshops with him when he was in Maine. He'd like, hey, you get some comic friends, you get eight of them together, we'll do a workshop, blah,
cool.
blah, blah.
Yeah.
He was trying to make money, and I understood that. And we'd each do a five-minute set. And I would go up, and at the time, I was doing a set on my wife, my wife battling breast cancer.
Mm.
I know it's a heavy subject, obviously, but the whole content was about how we dealt with it, how she dealt with it, and how she wanted us as a couple to deal with it.
Yeah, your experience.
Yeah, like we were experience, and I was talking about our experience, and I prefaced that when I went up. The way the workshop goes, Eddie would give you an introduction, and he would and you go up on stage and do your 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. So he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, Mark Turca," and the seven other people clap for me, and I walk up to the stage, and I just took a minute, like, at the microphone. I'm just like, let the room get really quiet, and then the first words out of my mouth, my wife has breast cancer. And then I went into the bit.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, Eddie was like, well, you know, after you get an introduction, when you were working your way to the stage, you should have been high-fiving people and, and you know, bringing the energy up and being excited. And at that moment, I was like, this guy's totally wrong. And I called him out in front of these seven other comics. I'm like, Eddie, that's just something you say at every workshop.
Yeah.
It tells me that you weren't really paying attention to what I was doing because the first words out of my mouth was, my wife has breast cancer. How would that have looked if I went up there with a ton of energy and a big smile and high-fiving people? Hey. You know, it's like, I'm going to bring you into some heavy subject matter. I'm going to make it funny.
Yeah.
But I 100% disagree with what you just said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he didn't like that. It didn't matter to me if he decided never like to break contact with me because at that point he deserved that feedback from me.
Right. Yeah.
You know, the other one is pretty similar. Free Beer and Hot Wings is a nationally syndicated morning show. And I got to do a set in front of 700 people with them behind me. And the deal was, and this was at, you know where the Dome is in Portland, where Jokers used to be?
Yeah, yeah.
So they have this big soccer stadium, they call it the Dome. Yep. So Free Beer and Hot Wings was doing a live show in Portland. The deal was I would go up and do like 5 to 7 minutes of comedy. They would sit behind me and take notes. And after my set, they would roast me.
Oh.
And I agreed to that. I was like 3 years into comedy. Like, and I'm like, oh my God, are you kidding me? Okay. Problem was I did pretty well. The audience responded really well to me. So they did their roast jokes, and the roast jokes went over great too. So it was a good night. Everybody had a good night. I was happy that I had a good set. They got to roast me. Their roast jokes were good. End of story. 2 years later, they come back and they're like, Mark, do you want to do it again? I'm like, absolutely. And they're like, all right, get like three friends. We'll make it a big comedy night and we'll do the same deal. And afterwards, you get to roast us.
Oh.
So given me that opportunity, I did research.
Oh.
And I wrote 20 roast jokes. The three other people with me did not.
Oh.
Even though they were told ahead of time.
Yeah, they thought they'd do it on the fly.
Right. It did not work.
No.
So we all get done our sets. Everybody gets roasted. And then it's our turn to roast them. And it was just me.
Oh.
It was just me roasting them. And I cut deep.
Oh, no.
Because I know how to roast.
Yeah,
I know you have to... You have to make it more funny than it is mean.
Than mean,
and they didn't like it because I was you know, crapping on their show, crapping on them as individuals. Like I said, I did my research, so I dug stuff up. I went on their message boards.
Oh God!
And I looked at stuff from their fans. So I brought some of that stuff up, and I'm like, I thought this is what we were supposed to do.
Yeah.
And after that, I never heard from them again.
You understood the assignment.
I understood the assignment. And I wasn't there to kiss anyone's butt. You know, this is comedy. Yeah. This was the agreement. This is what we're doing. And that's not for everyone.
Yeah.
It's more important to me to have integrity.
Yeah.
Than it is to preserve relationships with people who may not.
Yeah, yeah. So you've learned a lot through just doing comedy then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
develop a thicker skin.
12 years of my life, well, 10 of the 12, just doing comedy. Like every weekend was booked. Every weekend. Some midweek, some Wednesdays, some Thursdays. Met a lot of people, learned how to do a lot of things. And all I would do was watch comics on stage and go, I will never do that. I will never do that. I would look for what's wrong more than what's right.
And oh, interesting.
Take mental notes of what not to do.
Yeah, I think that's definitely something that most comics don't do. I think I kind of do that a little bit too, but you've been primarily my comedy teacher throughout the last 4 years. So I think I do that as well, where I'm like, oh, that I didn't like that. I didn't like how that felt. I'm going to remember not to do that.
Yeah.
versus like, oh, I like the way they're moving, or I like the way they held the microphone, or yeah, I like the way they delivered that, like versus that, you know, the what not to do, I think is more important.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And even I enjoy taking risks on stage, and sometimes they backfire. And when they do, I go, that didn't work. I'll never do that again. Never and again. It's done. Yeah. I'm not dwelling on it. I'm not letting it ruin my night.
Oh.
It's like, I know.
What's that like?
Yeah. After a while, you develop a confidence where it's like, I know I'm funny. I know I can perform in this situation. If it doesn't go well, I'll get him next time.
Right, right. I do have that mindset, but a lot of like my default setting is that was a good set. Here's what I would have done differently.
Yeah.
Even if I had them laughing for a full 20 minutes, I'll leave the stage and be like, I forgot this joke. I forgot this joke. I forgot this joke. I didn't do that tag. That could have been funnier if I had said it differently. Like, I will run through everything I did wrong, and then I'll be like, still a good set, and move on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still a good set. Moving on. Like, yeah. I can't.
You have to have that mentality of like a closer in baseball, where if like you come in the ninth inning to save the game, and if you blow the game, you got to come back tomorrow night and try it again.
Try it again.
And you can't bring that baggage with you.
No. The goal is for me, and I think probably most comics, is constant improvement.
Yes.
Like constantly trying to like find the right word economy, trying to find the right tags to put into things, and like always looking at your jokes, even if you've been doing them for 4 years, looking at your jokes and thinking, okay, well, that's getting old and it's a little stale. What if I do this to that old joke and bringing that old joke into something new? Like I'm doing that a lot more now that I have more content. And I'm finding that I got tired of doing comedy for a little bit, but now I'm kind of like, oh, it's fun again. You know, rewriting things and making things funnier is fun.
That's why you're successful.
You think?
You're figuring it out.
I'm trying so hard.
And one of the most eye-opening moments I've had in comedy is had to do with a man you just saw perform live, Brian Regan.
Oh, God, she was good.
I love Brian Regan. Brian Regan has like 8 hours of killer G-rated material.
Clean, fully clean.
Squeaky
material.
Clean.
Yeah,
and
it's just so funny.
Brian Regan is the type of comedian where if he goes to a club in New York City, all the comics who are in the restaurant or in the back of the room are coming out to watch him.
That's
he's that
Nick,
good.
Nick says that too. He's a comics comic.
Yeah, he is. He's like a clean David Tell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I took the family to see Brian Regan. It was probably, I don't know, 8 years ago. And he did a special at Radio City Music Hall that he was going to be doing. It was a live Comedy Central thing at Radio City Music Hall or Netflix. I don't know what it was. Anyway, he was working out that new hour at that show. And he had a couple of jokes that didn't go over. And to me, Brian Regan is top five.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Of comedians in history.
He's
that good.
I was going to ask you where he sat on your list.
Oh my God. Yeah. It's Carlin and then everyone else.
Everybody.
And Brian Regan
and
is in the
that.
Top five.
Yeah.
But at that moment, I'm thinking to myself, if this guy doesn't have it figured out, what the hell hope do the rest of us have? You know what I mean? Because he had some jokes that really fell flat. I don't think anybody enjoyed that more than I did in the room, including Brian Regan. I'm like, I was so happy to see someone that good just not hit, you know, to have a couple of jokes that fell flat. And I'm like, well,
it's all part of the process.
Yeah, it's the process, but he's one of the best.
Yeah.
He's one of the best ever. This guy buys houses by telling jokes. It's like people used to, local comics, they crap on Bob Marley. I'm like, what are you doing? What do you have against Bob Marley? The guy's been paying his bills and feeding his family with jokes for like 30 years. What is wrong with you? You're just jealous.
Yes.
You know, I've worked with Bob Marley. He's one of the nicest guys ever.
Aw.
You know?
That's
I don't
fun.
Know. Anywho, that was way too long-winded, but...
It's okay. So are you done holding a grudge against me?
No. No, I just... I'm still going to hold a grudge.
Going to hold that grudge.
Yeah.
Just don't become indifferent to me.
I will never. I will never become
because that's worse.
That is worse. It's
so
like,
much worse. Yeah. That's what they say. The opposite of love is indifference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is. It does have a lot to do with age and knowing and valuing your time.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not... This sounds cruel, but I don't know any other way to put it. If you're not worth my time, I'm not going to bother.
Mm-hmm. Well, and people are very quick to show you whether they're worth your time or not, just by the way they treat you.
Yep.
And I'm getting to that point in my life now. I mean, I'm 48. I'll be, you know, I'm creeping up on 50 pretty quick. And it's sort of like, I used to have this really big, broad circle of people that I called friends. And now, like, having been with Nick for a few years, he's like, not everybody is your friend. Mm-hmm. Like, you can label other, you know, you can put people in other categories. Yep. Like, you can say, person that I work with, or the person I went to college with, or the person I grew up with. If you're not, like, talking to them every day, they're probably not really somebody you would consider right. to be your friend. Right. And I, you know, I kind of put that into perspective now, and I think about, okay, well, who is actually in that circle of friends? Who do you talk to all the time? Who do you value? And where do you want to give what little time you have to away, you know, to those people? And there are like four or five people where I'm more than willing to give them my time. And then there's another like four or five people where I'm like, I can give them time, but it's going to be on my terms.
Right.
You know, and that's a much smaller circle than I've ever had in the past. And I do think that that kind of helps limit how much you care about somebody else's perspective of you, because that's been I grew up a people pleaser, you know, a little bit about like growing up, what it was like. So for me, I've like always just wanted people to be happy and to like me. And I don't feel like I have to do that anymore. Like, I feel
isn't
like I'm
great?
Like, eh,
isn't it great?
If you don't like me, it's okay.
It's a great place to be.
It's getting better.
Yeah.
I think, but it's a, I'm not a grudge holder either. Like and I'm also not an indifference type of person. Like mm-hmm. I don't think I care too much about what people think, but I think I worry too much about other people. That empathetic part of me is always like, oh, I hope they're okay.
Yeah.
Even if they've done horrible things to me, I hope they're okay.
I know. You have the biggest heart of anyone.
Aw, thanks.
I know.
Thank you.
I don't know how you do it.
I haven't figured it out either.
I don't. But
maybe it's a flaw. Maybe I should.
I don't think it's a
maybe
flaw.
Maybe it's elephantitis. Echo and echocardio elephantitis. I just made that up.
It could
and over
be a thing.
And an enlarged heart. In feelings, not form.
Yeah. Time is too precious.
It goes by so fast.
It does. Everything, it goes by so fast. Nobody wins in the end. And we all act like we do.
No.
But we don't.
Yeah.
So.
Someday I'm just going to be like a troll lady who lives in the woods with her cats.
Everyone's got goals.
And a rocking chair. People are going to be hiking. They're going to stumble across me in the woods, just sitting in a rocking chair, rocking my cats and being like, oh, hello. I'm not going to have a house made out of candy or gingerbread or anything, but.
That's right. You don't want anybody coming over for snacks.
No, snacks are all mine. There will be signs.
There'll be a basketball hoop out front.
Start having moss is going to start growing on my shirts. People are going to be like, what's going on with you? I'm like, I'm getting into my crone phase.
Leave me alone.
Everybody has a crone phase. Leave me alone.
All right. This has been pretty heavy.
Oh, okay. Should we do random questions?
Yeah,
or
let's wrap it up with a little 3RQ over here.
This is as heavy as we get.
It's pretty heavy. Yeah.
It's so heavy. Oh, the weight of it all.
I know. And you wonder why I'm holding a grudge.
Oh, no.
Little 3RQ to close the show out.
Okay. What fictional workplace would you like to be employed at?
Oh, taxi.
Oh, I would have guessed that, or at WKRP.
Oh, WKRP would have been great. That's a really good suggestion. Maybe I'll start at taxi and then work my way
over to WKRP. In Cincinnati.
How about you?
The Office.
The Office.
I would so want to work with Dwight Schrute.
So you would sit where Jim sits?
Yes, and I would be Jim. I would become that character.
All right.
It would be so much fun. So much fun.
Who is your role model in comedy?
Carol Burnett. Yeah, Carol Burnett would be my role model. I feel like she never compromised. She always had such integrity. She was a fantastic writer, a fantastic performer, and seemed to me to be a very genuine human being who was very relatable. Like, she didn't fit into the package that Hollywood wanted for her to fit into, and she was still successful and driven and just kept going and didn't give up. And I feel like I don't fit into many packages. There is a scene in one of her shows where they do a spoof on Gone with the Wind, and it just, every single time it gets me. She has taken the curtains on the rod out of the window, and someone says, "I love your dress," and she says, "I saw it in the window and I just couldn't resist." And every single time I'm like, "Oh my God, I love her." Yeah. Was it, who's yours?
She's awesome. Well, I mentioned him earlier, Carlin.
Oh, George Carlin.
Yeah, Carlin, yeah, he changed not only my views on comedy, but the way I look at the world. And he opened my eyes to a lot of things. I was raised in a Catholic household, went to church every Sunday, mm-hmm. went to a Catholic school until eighth grade. I didn't know any different. And then in high school, I started listening to Carlin. I saw his special on HBO, and I was like, this guy's pretty funny. And then I started buying, this is how old I am, folks, cassette tapes of Carlin, like AM and FM and Toledo Window Box and Occupation Fool. And I was blown away. I was like, I didn't know that you were allowed to question whether or not there was a God. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
All I knew was that
what I've been taught 14 years, sure.
My entire life. Yeah. And then I started to question a lot of things, and a lot of things that I've been taught didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. He had more of an influence on my life than anyone.
Yeah, not just in comedy. Yeah.
No. And the thing I love about him as a comedian is he was relevant in comedy in 5 decades.
Yeah.
And his last special could be put up against any one of his others. There's no one else in comedy I could say that about.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah, what do you do when you need some inspiration?
You're the inspiration.
That's the only reason I asked that question.
Because you got tired of the, I can't find this feeling anymore.
I will never tire of your singing.
Inspiration. Actually, speaking of that, that's where I get inspiration. Music.
Yep.
Music inspires me. It inspires me to clean my house. It inspires me to write. It inspires me to exercise. It inspires me to call friends. It inspires me to talk to my family. Like, if I hear a song and I'm like, oh, that makes me think of whoever it is, then I'll immediately be like, I just heard this song and it made me think of you.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I'm definitely inspired by music.
Awesome.
Like, that's probably the biggest thing. And sometimes I'll even hear a song that I've heard a million times and really hear it for the first time and be like, oh man, I'm like finally just getting this. I'm finally just hearing this, like really hearing it. So.
Is that before or after you get the lyrics correct?
I would say that night.
Does it change the meaning of the song when you learn the correct lyrics?
Yes. Specifically, Girls Just Want to Have Fun. When I learned that when the working day is done is what she was saying, and not what in the world can they get done, it became a whole new song.
Yes. Oh, boy.
What inspires you?
I get a lot of inspiration through reading autobiographies. I'm not a big fan of biographies.
Oh.
I want to hear it from the person who lived it.
That tracks for me, for you.
Recently, like within the past month, I have, for whatever reason, I don't know, I've become a huge boxing fan.
Oh, interesting.
But not current day boxing, like back in the 80s and 90s. When it was there, but I would never paid attention to it.
Like Tyson, Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, Muhammad Ali. I've been doing a lot of research on him. I've read 3 boxing books in the last couple of weeks.
No kidding.
Yeah, and one of them is by Teddy Atlas. And Teddy Atlas, he trained Tyson when Tyson was like from 12 to 15 years old. Like he turned Tyson into what Tyson was.
No kidding.
Yeah, and then they had an incident and never worked together again. But
he's holding a grudge. Is that what you're saying?
A little bit. But Teddy is, to me, he's a master of psychology. His philosophy is that boxing is 75% mental. And I've always been fascinated with boxers. Like, why? I want to know why you put yourself in that position. Why do you get into this ring with someone who wants to, at the very least, knock you unconscious?
You. Yeah.
Yeah. At the very least.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so Teddy, he breaks it down, and it's all about managing fear. And I think, you know, it applies to just life as well, not just boxing, but life. And you can get a lot of life lessons from that man. I'm fascinated with him right now. I like looking back on things, especially with YouTube and all the classic TV we have now. The things that I was aware of back then that I never paid attention to. And now I'm looking back going, wow, that was really something.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff from our childhood that's like,
Instead of paying attention to what we have now and what's coming down the road, I'm more interested in what we had back then.
That's called dissociation. And I'm here for it.
Yeah, sign me up.
I'm here for it as well. I'm going to go back and start watching figure skating from the 1990s here pretty soon.
Do it up. Christy Yamaguchi.
Yes.
She had it going on.
Get into the Tonya Harding, Nancy Kerrigan saga just one more time. Why?
We would like to thank our sponsors for today, UPI Plumbing, Heating, and Cooling, and Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. And if you would like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com. And there may not be a show tomorrow, folks. We are doing a presentation at the Lewiston Auburn Metropolitan Chamber of Commerce.
He says we, but it's just him.
It's just me.
It's just, they just asked for Mark.
Sarah and Pam are going to be in the back room going, he's so bad at this.
No. You're going to be great.
Thanks for listening, and we will catch you, if not tomorrow, on Friday. Bernie and Randy from Cora will be here talking about the Festival of Trees.
That's exciting. I'll come in and pop in on Friday.
Cool.
Because we didn't have a show on Monday.
Yeah. Sounds good.